You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday, May 11th, as I'm broadcasting from our flagship studio here in Memphis, Tennessee, and going out simulcasting to the AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and on the Internet as well to a worldwide audience of fans at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Folks, if you've been to our website today, you know that we have pretty much preempted our normal routine here, which opens the first hour, Keith Alexander by my side, because of a pretty big story that's drawing in some heavyweight commentators, Rush Limbaugh included. Richard Spencer is my guest as we attempt to sift through the rubble of a convoluted trail. Richard Spencer is, of course, the president and director of the National Policy Institute. Richard was formerly an assistant editor at the American Conservative Magazine and executive editor of Talkies Magazine. In 2010, he founded AlternativeRight.com and edited it for its first 2 years. He holds degrees from the University of Virginia and the University of Chicago, respectively. Richard, welcome to the show. You are indeed the man of the hour.
Well, thank you, James. As you can see, we were controlling the airwaves of MSNBC on Thursday. So we are indeed the man of the hour. We are able to broadcast our message to millions.
And if folks, if you haven't seen it yet, that video that Richard is referring to can be found at thepoliticalcesspool.org, alternativeright.com, npiamerica.com. Yes, I received some emails on Thursday night from listeners of the show who said they had seen me on MSNBC on the Rachel Maddow show. And that was news to me since I didn't appear with Rachel Maddow that night or any other night. And come to find out, this whole thing started earlier in the week when a writer by the name of Jason Richwine had put forth a paper for the Heritage Foundation. Now, how does that tie in to Richard Spencer and through association with Richard myself on MSNBC, Rachel Maddow? You know, Richard, the picture of Richard was the backdrop for Rachel Maddow for nearly 20 straight minutes on national television. Again, folks, how did that happen? I'll let Richard set the table from the very beginning. Richard, how did it all start?
Well, it is a long, convoluted story, but I'll try to be concise. There is this person named Jason Richwine, and he's a very good guy and a very talented researcher, and he has a degree in social or political science from no less an institution than Harvard. And the backstory, I actually first encountered Jason in the summer of 2008, and I was attending a pretty typical Beltway conservative immigration panel, and he was on it, and I heard him, and I was like, wow, this guy, we found one who can see. He is not like a typical Beltway type. He was talking about innate tribalism. He was talking about racial differences in intelligence. He was talking about the gulf that separates third world immigrants and native born white Americans. He was talking about heritability, and I couldn't believe it. So I actually went up and talked with him afterward, and he was a very nice guy. And we struck up a friendly relation. And that was that. And after he actually wrote a dissertation at Harvard,
right,
in which he talked about the implications of race differences in intelligence to immigration. And obviously, these implications are profound.
And this was something, I don't want to say endorsed by Harvard, but this was something that passed the muster from Harvard's governing body,
yes.
Correct?
It definitely. He was awarded a PhD. This was his dissertation.
Okay, so there you have it. And that can't be understated.
Say it's endorsed by Harvard. We are backed. We have we base all of our opinions on Harvard-backed research.
That's right.
But yeah, so he wrote an interesting dissertation. It's actually online. And that actually, you know, and he then pursued a career in think tankdom within the Beltway. And just to fast forward a little bit to 2010, when I first launched the website alternativeright.com, I actually asked Jason to write an article. It was actually on Hispanic crime and Iran. It was a response to Iran Unz piece. We don't have to really go into that. It was a very good piece. And so he did that. So he was kind of there at the beginning at Alt-Right. And then fast forward again, Jason is working at the Heritage Foundation. And we're, of course, in the midst of this immigration battle, or you can call it an amnesty battle, where we have the Chuck Schumer and Mark Rubio bill that's being put into Congress. And, you know, it's more or less an amnesty with some promises on the side. And I wasn't quite sure how the Beltway conservatives would come out on this. And certainly there are a lot of them that support increased mass immigration and amnesty and so on. But actually, the Heritage Foundation, to their credit, they put out a report that was co-authored by a man named Robert Rector, who's an old hand at this, and Jason Richwine, that basically estimated the cost of granting amnesty to current illegals in terms of social services, schooling, welfare, health care, and so on. And the cost was enormous. They estimated it at $6 trillion. And there were a lot of people who, of course, took issue with that number and so on. But there were a lot of liberals who decided that it's best not to actually engage the other side's argument. It's best just to attack the messenger.
Of course.
And try to, you know, paint them as a racist. This is a tried and true one, as we know. And so they looked at, they knew Robert Rector. He's a longtime Heritage researcher. But they saw this new guy, this younger person. He's, I believe Jason's still under 30.
Wow.
And they said, this guy, let's see who he is. And they looked up, and he's like, he went to Harvard. And then they looked at his dissertation, and they saw that he is what could be called a race realist. He thinks race is real. He thinks heritability. And by heritability, that's a real simple concept. It means that you are a lot like your parents. Or you're a lot like your family or your extended family. And that human beings cannot be molded at our whim. That human nature is not exactly immutable, but it is a very strong component that informs all of our lives. So he took race seriously, he took heritability seriously, and so they really started to go after it. Then they noticed that, this is just the cherry on top of the sundae, is that they could connect him with me, a truly a wicked person. When the full moon is out, I'm out there killing cattle and kidnapping children.
Just like everybody else at the American Conservative Magazine, no doubt.
But so they decided to connect him with me, and I was actually interviewed by Yahoo, and you can actually, if you look at some of my blogs on this, which are at npiamerica.org, just click on the blog section, you can read it.
Richard, hold up right there. I know we're setting the table so we can sink our teeth into the full course meal we're about to lay out in front of everyone. But we got to take our first break of the evening. Folks, when we come back, we're going to connect the dots and start making sense of all this. Lots of fallout still to come this first hour when my interview with Richard Spencer continues here on The Political Cesspool. Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. James Edwards and Richard Spencer here for the entire first hour, and we're talking about the Jason Richwine Heritage Foundation ordeal. And again, folks, this has drawn the interest and commentary from people like Rush Limbaugh, Michelle Malkin, Ann Coulter, and a host of others. Now, how does it tie in to Richard Spencer and Rachel Maddow? We're going to get to that. But first, we're trying to start from the beginning because it is, as we've mentioned, a long and convoluted trail. But basically what we've got, what we've established thus far in the first segment, is that you had this young fellow, Jason Richwine, who was awarded his PhD from Harvard based upon a thesis that he had written on the implications of racial differences in IQ for immigration policy. So Jason, since that time, has, you know, worked and rubbed elbows in, dare I say, conservative circles. I mean, that's what I guess the Heritage Foundation would define itself as being. And we get up to a couple of days ago. Now, he wrote what for the Heritage Foundation, Richard? Now, you, of course, were alluding to the fact that this paper had come out and the left-wing extremists took issue with it. What exactly did he say? What did they say in response? And what was Heritage's ultimate reaction?
Well, yes, the paper that launched the scandal was not about racial differences in IQ. It was basically just an accounting of the cost of allowing illegal immigrants to become citizens. But we're in a kind of pitched battle with this immigration debate, you know, at the moment. And so essentially the liberals wanted to use Jason's previous writings in order to taint this study, in order to kind of depict, oh, you know, anyone who opposes immigration reform, as they call it, is some kind of, you know, horrible Nazi or, you know, whatever, the kind of typical stuff.
All right, so basically he wrote something for Heritage that basically argued against the amnesty that Congress is currently mulling, and as a way to discredit the message, they went into his background and saw that he had received his PhD from the racist institution of Harvard and had rubbed elbows with people like Richard Spencer, who has worked for, you know, extremists like Pat Buchanan and Taki of, you know, I mean, these are, you're just,
yeah.
I mean, this is crazy, you know, completely fringe people like Pat Buchanan, who very yeah. nearly could have been the president in 1996. Now, okay, so they sink their teeth into his background and very loose associations with people that they don't like, which these are, of yeah. course, very mainstream people. And the howling begins to reach its crescendo, and Heritage does what?
Heritage, believe it or not, back down to liberals calling them racist. I know.
I can't believe
shocked.
It. That's got to be unprecedented.
We're used to these brave conservatives who would never leave someone wounded out in the field. No, I'm obviously, hopefully, you'll recognize I'm being entirely sarcastic. If I could have, if there were a betting line on, you know, conservatives being spineless, I definitely would have put a couple grand on that. Because it was really predictable. So essentially, they connected Jason to his dissertation, and then they connected him to me, and then Heritage essentially just flipped. They just backed down, and officially Jason resigned from Heritage, but I think it's
well a forced resignation. Fine.
Just to
give people a little depth here, Richard, it's not surprising that you've got a relatively mainstream conservative guy like Rich Wein. I mean, he's writing for Heritage. It's not surprising that they would try to discredit him with the R word, as they do everyone that they disagree with, and that Heritage would back down. None of that is surprising. What is surprising to me about this is that Jason Richwine was defended by all of these mainstream people. I want to read just a couple of paragraphs from a response written by our mutual friend Jared Taylor, and this is what it reads. In yet another act of cowardice, a conservative, quote-unquote, institution has fired someone for saying something that is not only true, but something that everyone knows to be true. This time, the Heritage Foundation joined the ranks of lickspittles by forcing out senior researcher Jason Richwine. Mr. Richwine, who co-authored Heritage recently released report on the costs of amnesty, had written his Harvard PhD thesis on the implications of racial differences in IQ for immigration policy. There is no need to repeat the things that have been said by Mr. Richwine's attackers. They are just as gloatingly idiotic as you might imagine. It is far more important to point out that Mr. Richwine had important defenders, but Heritage still folded. And what makes its behavior particularly revolting is that people who run it knew about Mr. Richwine's Harvard dissertation ever since they hired him 2 years ago. It's hard to imagine more craven behavior. And then Jared gets into a litany of, for lack of a better term, Richard, mainstream commentators who have defended Richwine. And this is what they say, and I'll just read a selection. Michelle Malkin says this: if it is now inherently racist to study racial and ethnic differences among demographic groups, then it's time to shut down every social science department in the country. Rush Limbaugh says this: we must have honest discussions about race. We must have honest discussions about immigration. Well, this is one. Here's an honest discussion, a doctoral dissertation, and it's under attack because it's honest. What's happening to Jason Richwine is inexcusable. Ann Coulter says that the attack on Richwine is an attack on science. And as Jared Taylor writes, even David Weigel, hardly a friend of the right, was unhappy by writing a liberal squeals racism, and they hear the Southern Poverty Law Center reporting a think crime. So, Richard, does any of that surprise you, that people like Limbaugh, Malkin, Coulter, certainly not people that would, you know, perhaps have dinner with us, we are a little bit more advanced in our evolutionary thinking, that they would get out on the front line?
I think this is a complicated issue. I think we should properly be ambivalent about it. Because the thing is, Jason Richwine is a young guy. As I said, I believe he's around 30 or maybe a little bit under. And I think it would be clear, it's clear to me at least, that he's been influenced by people like Jared Taylor in his thinking. And I would imagine that Jared Taylor was not a mentor, but certainly a influence and model even for doing these kinds of studies. Yet the conservative movement would, you know, treat Jared Taylor as some kind of evil figure. So I think they're... So it's a complicated issue. I think basically Jason, his skills as an analyst are beyond reproach. I mean, he is clearly a very skilled and very talented at doing quantitative analysis, which, you know, boggles my mind. But, you know, he can do this kind of stuff. So I think in a way, the Heritage Foundation, they thought that this person could really add something to their organization. He has an Ivy League degree. He has quantitative skills. And so they hired him. So he kind of, in a way, got into the mainstream. And that allowed Coulter and Malkin to, and when the scandal began, remember, they were in essence defending the Heritage Foundation. Now they have now, I mean, I saw Malkin tweeted something that was critical of the Heritage Foundation. So this is a very complicated issue. And I think we need to ask that, this question of, if Richwine weren't part of this kind of Team Red, so to speak, would they actually defend him? Are they going to start talking about IQ differences, heritability, and race differences of all kinds in their work? I seriously doubt that's going to happen. I think they're going to be just as PC as they were before the scandal. But I admit it is interesting. And obviously, I'm an eternal optimist, so I hope that this might be a kind of breakthrough, and that these things are starting to be talked about. But I'm also a realist, and, you know, as I mentioned in some of these blogs...
Richard, they're playing our song. But listen, the interview's only half over, and we're still apparently just getting started. It's a lot of layers to this onion. We're going to continue to peel them one by one when Richard Spencer's return. Folks, don't go anywhere. The plot thickens on the other side of this commercial break.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend.
All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, folks, top of the third segment, quick recap. Jason Richwine, this PhD from Harvard, has joined the ranks of distinguished figures such as Sam Francis, John Derbyshire, Joe Sobrin, intellects who could run circles around the likes of Rachel Maddow. All these people, Richwine himself now included, have been dismissed from, venerable publications because of heresy. You know, Richard, this is the thing. Obviously, these folks can't debate a quantitative analysis from Harvard when it comes to facts and figures and numbers. I mean, this is what this guy does. He crunches these numbers. He puts these numbers into words, and he explains the cause and effect. But what they can do is tarm with guilt by association, no matter how loose that association may be. Now, again, folks, for more information about Richard's work, and it's something that I would highly encourage everyone to do, go to npiamerica.org, National Policy Institute, npiamerica.org. And, you know, we've talked about Richard. Richard's a regular guest on the show. You know what Richard's about. You know his work. Assistant editor at the American Conservative, editor at Taki's Mag. I mean, these are fairly mainstream publications. I mean, yes, Pat Buchanan and Taki, but, you know, as far as we go, this is the mainstream. I mean, that's the mainstream we want to hear from anyway. So it's like, you know, but Richard,
as far as we go, those magazines are the left.
Touche, my friend. But nevertheless, they are tying Jason into you. They can't argue with his facts, so they're going to say, well, he knows Richard Spencer. And the length of that knowing being that you commissioned one article from him a couple of years ago. And MSNBC, to fast forward to that now, we know what's going on here. They're attacking Richwine, attacking Heritage. Heritage has thrown him under the bus because of his racist associations. MSNBC spends 20 minutes talking about his association with you. 20 minutes on national television, folks, is an eternity. I once had the opportunity to go to CNN in one of my national television appearances, and I was part of a panel that was there for the whole hour. But I was actually there talking for that, you know, show. They talked about Richard, who wasn't even there as a guest, for 20 minutes. Unprecedented in all of my life. I've never seen that. I mean,
well,
I think the
irony of it is that I think it was probably a bad move on their part. It was bad propaganda because the whole idea on Thursday night was to say, essentially, well, you thought Jason Richwine and Heritage were bad. Well, get a load of this. You know, he's connected with people who are even worse. They're unbelievable. And then what they did is they played a video, in many ways uninterrupted. they'll play a 2 minutes of a video that we made, and we actually made this video about a year and a half ago.
And it's a great video.
Quite good, and it really expresses our mission and what we're about and what we believe.
Well, for the sake of the people who haven't seen it, Richard, tell the folks who what the video said, exactly what it said that MSNBC played that was so horrible in their minds.
Well, the video is Who Stands for Us. And the general sentiment is that every ethnic group, from lesbians to left-handers, seems to have some kind of rights organization or a think tank that tries to think on their behalf, or a cultural group. And the exception to this is the American majority, and that is white Americans. And we know the odds are against us. We know the power of political correctness, but we are trying to be that. And we're part of a movement that includes people who are we're all moving in unison towards creating a movement that's about that. You're obviously a part of this, and so is Jared, and so are other great people. And so that is what the video is about. It's really sensible. It's not some you know, crazy, you know, cross-burning, whatever they want to imagine we're about. It's not.
No, it's what it is. It could have come out of Hollywood. It is so professionally produced. The production value of this piece that Richard did in video promoting NPI, National Policy Institute, and what it stands for, it's so well-reasoned. It's so well-argued. It looks great. It's aesthetically pleasing. And they pulled this thing, and they were saying, of course, Rachel Maddow was saying, you know, this is white supremacist speak here. How dare Richard Spencer say that white people have something, and she did it, you know, with, you know, quoting her fingers, our people, our culture. Oh my. And you wrote it, Richard. They're like white people, and they're gasping, standing up for their interests. How evil. You know, white supremacists, only white supremacists would believe that white people should have organizations that seek to advance their outlook and their agenda, not at the expense of anyone else, but certainly for the benefit of their own kind. I'm sure, I have no doubt, Rachel Maddow has no problem with GLAAD. But, right. You know, this double standard is so elementary, it's almost a waste of time to repeat it. Everyone knows that whites aren't allowed to have what everyone else is encouraged and celebrated for having. But she played a lot of this video on MSNBC. And I was surprised that she did because it is so well done. I mean, like you said, it's not some, you know, gutter dweller, Sieg Heiling.
Yeah, I think it was bad propaganda on their part because, and I hesitate to give them advice, of course. But the thing is that I'm sure a lot of her viewers are real diehard liberals and PC types and what have you, and so they probably looked at it and were appalled.
Right.
But I bet a lot of other people looked at that and found it interesting, and I bet actually a lot of people looked at it and found it quite attractive. And I think even people who opposed us. Not the people who are like the real vicious, mean type leftists, but you know there are some real fair-minded liberals out there
that you
can reach. And I think a lot of those people might even thought, well, I disagree with them, but Richard Spencer is not a crazy person. He actually seems. Look at this guy. He's well-spoken. You know, it's a good-looking video. This guy is he's serious. I think a lot of them probably that thought came to their mind. So I think it was great. I'm really glad she gave us all of this exposure.
Well, and then, of course, we've got this video. Go ahead. It's 20 minutes long. And, you know, leave it to a lesbian television personality to tell normal people what constitutes normal. But she did it for 20 minutes. And a lot of it focuses on Richard. Again, why was Rachel Maddow talking about Richard and NPI? Well, of course, they're trying to tar and feather and smear Jason Richwine for his very loose connection. But nevertheless, that's all well and good because NPI, listen, anyone ought to be proud for any connection, whether it be loose or tight, with such an organization. Yeah. But, of course, that's not the way they see it.
Right. And so, you know, unfortunately, in part of it, she took some articles that were published at alternativeright.com, and I founded that website, and I worked on it for about 2 years, and then I had to step away because I was too busy with stuff. But they took some articles, and she really misrepresented these articles and made them. She actually made these articles like say the exact opposite of what
you mean. She took
arguing.
You mean MSNBC would actually take something out of context? That's possible.
Yes, believe it or not, conservatives are cowards. And liberals will smear you. Yes. Yes, Virginia. So that was the only thing. That kind of bothers me. I don't like being used as a smear for Jason, and I don't like anyone misrepresenting something that I publish, or in this case, something that I didn't publish, in fact, but she's connecting to me. So anyway, so there were some things about it that bothered me. But overall, the exposure, I think, really outweighs any of those whys. Really confident that a lot of people saw this video and were inspired by it.
If anybody goes, if an objective thinking person, and you know that has to be the key, of course, if they will go to the National Policy Institute's website as a result of seeing this and taking the information with an open mind, then you have a fertile ground for reaching potential converts into the right way of thinking. And again, I mean, what are we saying we want here? I mean, what's the overall message? What's the purpose of NPI, Richard?
The purpose of MPI is to act on behalf of white people's interests and their culture and our people and our future.
You want to kill anybody? You want to genocide anybody? Anything like that?
No. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, that it's ridiculous to even talk about that. I mean, this is an intellectual group. I mean, one thing that I think that I certainly believe in, and I know you agree with me, is that we need these big
That's
ideas.
Right.
Our people need a cause and a mission for the future. And so really, you know, we're not really in a position. I mean, I'm very realistic. I understand that we're considered fringe or whatever by Rachel Maddow. But the fact is, there's so many examples of groups that were on the fringe that had these big ideas whose time came. And these big ideas and these big causes inspired people and inspired future action and future political action. So that is what we are trying to do. I mean, it is an educational charity foundation, and we're working to create the cause that is going to inspire us in the future.
Folks, we got one more segment with Richard Spencer this hour. We're going to sum everything up and bring it to you on a silver platter right after this. Stay tuned.
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you. You're going to love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy. For the month of May, Freeze Dry Guy is offering the finest quality freeze-dried pineapple, a case of 6 number 10 cans yielding 114 servings at a special introductory price. First quality freeze-dried pineapple grown and packed with nothing added. This healthy treat works wonders with salad. It's great for snacking, hiking, hunting, camping, and for adding to your food storage program. And please note that Freeze Dry Guy's foods will store on your shelf for decades. Order now and get free shipping to your front door within the lower 48 states. This special introductory price is good until May 31st. For more information and a free complete product list, go to freezedryguy.com or phone 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com, 866-404-3663.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten the free people to be knowledgeable with current important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back. This hour has absolutely flown by with Richard Spencer, my featured guest for the night, president of the National Policy Institute, NPIAmerica.org. By now you know what's going on. So you've got Jason Richwine, Harvard-educated PhD, He writes something for the Heritage Foundation that was published this week that the liberals didn't like. They can't argue with a quantitative analysis from Harvard, so they attack him for associations real or imagined. They tie him to Richard Spencer. Rachel Maddow spends 20 minutes flashing Richard Spencer's face on, and you know, Richard looked quite handsome and dapper in the picture and in the video that they played, and they played darn near the whole thing. And he came off very well spoken and logical and objective and reasonable, everything that MSNBC isn't. But there was one part, Richard, about you write this. Let me go back up to my notes here. Talking about Rachel Maddow, you wrote that her technique was nothing more than point and sputter. The spot only makes sense if you're morally outraged by even the inkling of European nationalism. Otherwise, the clip is a fair depiction of NPI's stated goals, and many will find it attractive. The whole 20-minute hysterical diatribe by Rachel Maddow was marred by only one stupid insinuation. And what was that, Richard?
Oh, gosh. This is actually pretty funny. So she was playing videos, again, good videos of the two of us, and I think Jared Taylor is also in the picture, speaking at the National Press Club. And that was actually the fall of 2011. When we gave it, we had a conference in Washington, and I, of course, in the liberal imagination, you know, it's filled with Nazis and Klansmen and burning crosses and skinheads, of course. So the fact that you have that clean look of a bald head, she connected that you must be a skinhead,
right,
in her mind. So she said, you know, some of them actually have haircuts or some stupid phrase like that. But when I was watching that, I was thinking, like, so Patrick Stewart is a skinhead, and,
right,
you know,
Dave Chappelle is a skinhead.
Right.
Well, so this is the thing. So they're tying Rich Wine to NPI, to Richard Spencer and his known associates. So they flashed this, and I was on there for about a minute. I got about a minute of FaceTime of me speaking at the National Press Club. And here's the thing. Rachel Maddow is supposed to be a journalist. In fact, a journalist that is so accomplished that she gets her own national television show. I mean, that's, you know, you have to have risen above in terms of journalistic prowess all of your competitors to ascend to that level, to that pinnacle. And she engages not just last Thursday or this Thursday, but in every show when she's, you know, debating or talking, hysterical, imbecilic, completely irrational, sensational arguments. And so she says, you know, well, look at Richard Spencer. They have skinheads that come to their meeting. And it showed a picture of me talking for about a minute. And then it showed a picture of me and you doing an interview that we had, Richard.
Yeah.
And so, but here's the thing. If they pulled that video, which they did, now the video was muted of me speaking and she was just, you know, calling me a skinhead.
Uh-huh.
But if they pulled that video, they had to have watched it. And that was the presentation that me, you, and Jared Taylor gave at the National Press Club, which was, frankly, one of the highlights of my career. And everything that we presented there was so logical, I thought, and so well reasoned. They had to have, to pull that video, they had to have listened to it. To have listened to it, they would have known that what they're saying was an absolute lie. Obviously, skinheads don't speak that way. They don't look that way. They don't have press conferences at the National Press Club. So they had to have known that.
I mean, what it is that, you know, they want to cement in the public's imagination some images that,
right,
if you think like this, you are crazy and or a loser. And or you're totally evil, beyond, you know, you're Hitler, or you're some poor, you know, guy who has tattoos and is drunk and screams about blacks or something. And then when they discover that we're actually not like that, then there's this cognitive dissonance. And so I guess, well, they're a skinhead wearing a suit or something, like as if it's unusual to wear suits.
She pointed that out, with their skinheads, but they've evolved to the point in time where they can actually wear suits.
Right. It's really unbelievable. I mean, I think we could probably make fun of them all day. I'm actually kind of interested in this question, because I don't have an answer to it, or an unequivocal answer to it. And that is whether this might be a kind of breaking point for conservatives. And we touched on this, I guess, in the segment before last. And that is that, you know, Rush Limbaugh and Ann Coulter and Michelle Malkin, who hold a lot of sway amongst conservative rank-and-file types, not amongst Wall Street Journal types, but definitely amongst the rank-and-file types. And they were defending, first defending Heritage and then defending Ridgeline.
Well, look what Limbaugh said, which I thought was the most profound quote that came out of all this from someone arguably somewhere on our side. He said, "We must have an honest discussion about race." Now, he could have just been paying lip service, but if he meant that in any way whatsoever, you know, and that's what we say. You know, we just say that race plays a factor like many other things do. And that factor can't be discounted. It has to be looked at. It has to be talked about openly and objectively and honestly. And you can, you know, feel free to disagree with us and argue with us, but to dismiss us as this, that, or the other is childish.
Yeah. But will they begin to discuss it themselves? I mean, this is my question. Because, again, Jason Ridgeline was part of Team Red. You know, he was working on behalf of Republicans, or at least the conservative wing of Republicans. So are they going to really pursue it themselves? And I will mention this, because, you know, I'm obviously optimistic, but I'm also realistic. And that is that James Watson is one of the most celebrated scientists, not only of our time, but of all time.
Remind people what he did.
Yeah, he was the co-discoverer of the structure of DNA. And in, I believe it was 2007, he made an innocuous comment about how his prospects for the future of Africa are gloomy because he said that all social programs are based on the assumption that all men are equal in terms of intelligence. But the evidence says otherwise. And again, that is probably something that most of humanity, including most Africans, understand in their gut, if not in their mind. So it was a it was an innocuous statement. It wasn't a nationalist statement. It was a realistic statement. And this is, you know, one of the most famous scientists of all time. He was forced to recant,
right?
Like Galileo. He actually was forced to resign from his directorship or chancellorship,
right,
and also the board of directors of the, I believe it's the Cold Springs Laboratory where he was working. So, you know, if James Watson doesn't have credibility in this issue, then certainly Jason Ridgeline doesn't. So I just think the religion of equality is so profound that it might just take so much more. I mean, the breaking point might not even come in our lifetime, to be honest. It is just we have to understand that this really is a religion on their part, that no evidence, all evidence points against the idea that all, you know, we're all equal and we should all be Americans or whatever they believe. And so not more evidence is not going to change their mind. It's never been about evidence. It's always been about a belief system. And so I don't know when this will break, but I think what we have to do is we have to imagine ourselves almost in the role of like religious reformers, you know, say you're a Protestant reformer and the king doesn't much like you. You really have to reach people in your own life, reach people who have ears to hear you, reach people who are really willing to think rationally and not just go with the flow or go with the herd, and reach them, connect with them, you know, attend meetings, listen to James, talk about this stuff, think about it. And, you know, that is our kind of only way forward, is that we are similar to religious heretics.
Well, we are.
We're going to have to work together to finally allow the truth to be accepted.
All we can do is all we can do. We chip away to the extent that we can and hope that at the end of it all, our work will admit something and will have led to a second renaissance. But, Richard, we have a few seconds left. Folks, if you want more information about the Jason Ridgeline affair here, Richard Spencer documents it quite well at npiamerica.org. Amrin's covering it. V-Dare, Peter Brimelow covering it. Richard, in the final seconds here, this thing started and will end now with Jason Ridgeline, at least in terms of the discussion that we've had this hour. Where does he go from here? Do you have any? Obviously, you wouldn't know, but, I mean, what would you reckon?
Well, I think that's an interesting question, and I think I would be really excited if another conservative institution were willing to hire him just simply on the basis of his obvious skills in quantitative analysis. But, you know, the other option is to come join the evil empire.
He'll be making regular appearances on this show next month.
Come join the dark side.
I guess only time will tell. Well, he has nowhere else to go. He might as well embrace embrace it. We revel in it. And Richard, we love it here. I mean, this is where the water feels the best. The water's always warm in the political cesspool. But Richard, thank you for coming on, making sense of this to the extent that it can be made sense of. And folks, be sure to check this video out. We've got it on our website. It's at NPI America. It's all over the place. This Rachel Maddow thing. 20 minutes. You'll get to look at Richard for 20 minutes, and that alone is worth it. Richard, thanks for coming on tonight, my friend, and have a great weekend.
Oh, thanks a lot, James.
We'll talk to you again soon. For everyone else, stick around. We'll be back with the second and third hours right after this.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.